Pop and everybody, hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
The other host, as they like to call me.
No one likes to call you that.
Yeah.
I haven't heard of anybody calling you that.
You haven't heard of anything? No one?
No one. No. Not a single murmur.
I've heard murmurs. Whispers.
Who are these whispers?
You know, the Jazzy Jays.
The Jazzy Jays. It sounds like a collective of high-stepping, like, New York dancers.
Do you watch Schitt's Creek?
I have not watched it.
There's a local choir group that the mom joins. The Jazzy Gals, that's what they're called. Let's not go with that for the collective supporters of Jazzy J. We'll workshop that name a little.
we'll workshop it. We'll come up with something. So I'm Buzzy B, so I like to think of my collective as the Hive.
Oh, the Hive.
The Hive.
Yeah.
All the members of the Hive out there.
Wow.
You guys know who you are.
God, if that doesn't sound like an evil corporation, I don't know. Look, guys, if you want to be on team the Hive, the bad guys, I mean, that's up to you. But
it's not the bad guys.
Or you can be one of the Jazzy Gals.
Really? I mean, like, any option. Is there a good one? There's not a good option.
So we're gonna workshop it. That's what I'm here.
We need recommendations. If you have good thoughts, be sure to send them into popcornculturepod@gmail.com.
Yeah. Ben, do you have a corny joke for us today?
I do. Jay, what is the best way to burn 1,000 calories?
What is the best way to burn, to light a brick of cheese on fire?
It's pretty close, actually. Oh, is that okay? Light a brick of cheese on fire. That would certainly do it.
It seemed like such a waste of cheese.
Jay, the answer is leave the pizza in the oven.
Oh, pizza's way more than 1,000 calories, though, right?
Is it?
Eat a whole pizza?
How many calories in a whole pizza?
I feel like at least 1,600.
1,600 calories in an entire pizza. Man.
I don't know.
Maybe I need to eat more pizzas. I have the problem of not consuming typically enough calories on my daily.
Yeah.
And a lot of my fitness goals involve operating at a what would it be? The opposite of a calorie deficit.
Like a high calorie intake?
A high calorie intake.
High caloric intake?
Yes.
As it were. Need lots of energy.
Need tons of energy.
Yeah.
Don't have nearly enough.
Right.
Not nearly enough.
Food turns into energy.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Especially, I understand it.
Especially now that we have our new office, which is a third floor walk up, and we're burning cals every time we're carrying new furniture up here to the new office.
Yeah, we were carrying furniture up here to the new office today for the pop.
For the pop. Yes, yeah. We're making huge strides, guys. I'm actually so excited about this, but we've been wanting to switch over to the video version of the pop, so you can actually see us sitting there.
Not switch over, just add on.
Add on.
Add on.
Yeah. Add on. Well, same pop, different way of consuming.
Yes, additional way of consuming.
There we go. There we go. Yeah, people, now it's been clarified.
Yeah.
We'll still be available anywhere you've already found
wherever
us.
Wherever you're listening to us right now, that you can keep doing that.
Right. Made clear. I'm excited to see what we can do by recording the pop with a visual aid to it.
Yeah.
Because the idea would be to continue to not have the visual aid be entirely necessary. But, like, it's my goal to have it be, it's really, I call it my goal. It's actually my excuse.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to flex my fashion muscles.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. Not that I really have any of them, but I want to try to build some.
Ben over here downplaying his own trendiness once more. Literally, I think the last time we spoke about this, the example I gave was your like brown leather Nike Dunks, and you were like, what, these? No way. Not one day later, we were out at a store and someone's like, whoa, are those leather Nikes? And I was like, yeah, I told you.
I know. I had the exact same. When that guy said that, I was like, okay, maybe he has a point.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, though, I don't know what the thing is. I actually listened to that episode back because I got into the car with Alice, who had been listening to it, and we were driving out to her mom's land. So I was in the car and I was like, I kind of want to hear like what an episode of the pop is like, because typically we don't hear it after it's been edited.
Yeah.
We only like live it in real time.
Yeah.
So for one, immediately blown away by the number of things that we talk about that I forget about.
Right.
Almost instantly. None of it gets stored up there.
Yeah. It's even less like when you're writing the video script, like, you know, you come up up with the idea, and then there's like all the intensive research that goes into any given idea, and then you're like writing it down, and then you're revising the script. So by the end, you've got a pretty firm handle on like what you said.
Yes.
You know, and you know you go through the rough cut several times, you're making, you know, you're pulling assets for it, and but yeah, with the pop, we sit down, we have our notes, we disregard them immediately. And then,
why follow the notes when you could so easily just tangent left and right?
You know, yes, exactly.
But so here's my question, though, because I was listening back to that segment of it, and I was like, I'm pretty sure Jay was like mad at me. Like you sounded steamed.
I sounded steamed?
Straight steamed like a baked potato.
How are you making baked potatoes?
Incorrectly, apparently. You don't steam all of your baked potatoes?
I like to bring my baked potatoes into the sauna with me. Get a real nice steam on them bad boys.
Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, no, I thought that was interesting because I didn't notice it in the real time as we were discussing. But then I was like, oh man, I feel like he was getting flustered at me.
I don't recall being flustered at you.
That's good. Yeah. I'm glad. I never want you to be flustered at me.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
So here's the opposite side of your coin. You're like, you're excited about the prospect of flexing your apparent non-existent fashion muscles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In a way that apparently you're not doing on just the main Super Carlin Brothers show.
Nope. Different way. It's going to be like a whole new Ben.
Are you going to bring separate wardrobes?
Hard to say. It could be a deep investment for me.
Okay.
Like a real big, yeah, it's like, it could be a problem. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm expecting. Okay. If done properly, it's like, man, I've gone too far.
Like, you ready to record? Be like, well, I might have to run home and change. Like, that's a problem, Ben.
I got the feathers guy showing up in like 30, so. The
feathers guy?
Yeah, the feathers guy to glue all the feathers on.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited about this.
Is this getting out of hand yet?
Yeah. You know, whatever you want to do.
It's like, at what point does it stop being fashion and start to become costumes?
Yeah, there's a fine line, isn't there?
There might be. Mm-hmm. There might be. I don't know what it is because I don't know that much about it.
Apparently,
but
you're going to discover it. My concern is that I don't know how much of our body is going to be on camera.
You're thinking mostly just shoes?
I'm definitely not thinking that because, as you will know, one of the number one things that I always tend to do when we're recording anything is remove my shoes.
I have seen you before stumble on a take like 3 times and be like, you know what it is? My shoes. I left them on today. And you'll take your shoes off and then continue recording the video.
Right now, I'm not wearing shoes. I've taken them off since we started recording.
Well, Jay, how are you going to show off to all, like, to everybody your new fashion shoe sense?
Maybe I'll just start getting like pedicures or something.
That could be a thing.
I just got to start like intensive foot care.
Have you ever gotten a pedicure before?
No, I've never gotten a pedicure before. I got a manicure once.
Oh, before your wedding?
On my wedding day, yeah.
I remember that. Oh my gosh, that's actually kind of a funny story.
Have we not told this story?
Have we told this story?
I don't know. By all means.
It's possible that we have, but we'll do it again because, you know, every retelling can always come with brand new embellishments.
Mm, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the long and the short of it was that the day of Jay's wedding, we had booked a barbershop so that we and the rest of the groomsmen could come in and have like a shave and a fresh haircut and, you know, just sort of the whole works of the thing.
Yeah. It's like how everyone's going to meet up in the morning. We're all going to go get nice and freshened up. We're all going to meet downtown, and the barbershop we go to, this is like a service they provide. Like, you can like order breakfast and they bring you up into this like back room, and there's bagels and fruit trays, and you know, it's a fun time. You're just hanging out.
Yes. Yeah. And it's really cool. And then they have like their like, I forget what they call it, like the Royal Flush package or something like that, where it's you get like all the work done. So you get like a shave and a haircut and like a manicure. I'm trying to think of what else was involved with this.
I think they, because it's like a men's barbershop, they don't call it a manicure. They call it like hand treatment or something.
Hand treatment.
Something like that.
Yes. Yeah. What would be a really good name for something that would make it sound like just that much more gruff and tough? Like,
well, here's the thing. It already says man is already in it.
Right there in the name.
Right there in the title.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if anything, women are doing a pretty manly thing, getting their manicures.
Apparently. That is one take. Did you notice anything different when you did it? Like, were you actually like, my hands look better? Are they like, they feel...
I mean, I'm looking at my hands right now as if I can, like, oh yeah, how did they look on that day 5 years ago? I don't know in particular, but the only reason I really wanted to do it was because I was unsure whether there would be some, like, up-close photos of our hands because we had, like, rings on.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, they may as well look good.
Yes, and yes. So. Okay, so here's the funny thing about me. People bite their nails a way to like deal with like nerves and stuff like that. Yeah. You don't bite your nails.
Well, I don't bite my nails, but I bite my cuticles.
Okay.
A lot.
Okay.
Yeah, this has been a thing for, well, it's on my thumbs in particular. I mean, you can see it right now if I show you. Maybe biting is the wrong thing, but I will like pick at them with my other nails.
The other fingers. Okay. Like a nervous tick. Okay. Mm. I used to do a thing, and I'll come back to where I was going with that anyway. With my left hand, I would put my thumb in between my index finger and my middle finger, and I would like grip it really tightly.
Interesting.
It used to be this thing where like the bottom little like ridge where your nail meets like your like the, I don't know, the bed where the nail comes from.
Yeah.
It got like damaged.
Wow.
And there was this really weird thing for like a period of time where there was like a hole right in the middle of my thumbnail that had to like grow all the way out.
Wow.
And it looked really banged up. Like people would ask me like, what happened to your thumb? Like, because it was that like, I don't know, aggressive or whatever. And then I think I just kept doing it frequently enough that it probably went on for like 2 years where I had this like this hole in my thumb. And I remember it was always so embarrassing because it was like, especially in high school, if you like went on a date, there was always that like really momentous occasion where you like were at the movie theater and like put your arm around the girl or something.
Yeah.
And I usually flat terrified.
Sure.
And typically I feel like on all those dates, I would spend the first hour and 40 minutes of the movie literally just sweaty palms.
Right. Like, what's even happening in this movie?
Right. Yeah.
Who even knows?
I don't remember anything that happened other than I was so spooked. But I remember that was like one of the things that contributed to it was I was like really like self-conscious about this like one thumbnail that I had.
Oh.
So anyway, that was a concern there. But the other thing is that I've never been able to understand how people bite their nails. Like I feel like they always seem like too thick. Like I couldn't imagine being able to successfully like bite through the nail.
Well, I imagine if you are doing a lot of biting down on it, you are eventually flattening it out and making it a lot weaker over time.
Oh, I see. You've damaged the integrity of the nail.
Right. Yeah. If you just got a nice healthy nail, of course. I mean, if you're just going to, I think you're right. It would be very difficult to just, if you're not a nail biter at all, to just put that nail in your mouth and chomp and get a good crackling out of it. That's the worst. I can't even imagine it.
I feel so certain that somebody was listening to the podcast on a speaker and just now somebody walked in and caught this portion of it. And they're like, what are you listening to?
What is this?
Yeah.
Weird podcast.
Hello, new friend who just walked into the room.
Hey, what's up? How are you?
But so anyway, so I don't bite my nails. But then what frequently happens with me is that my nails get too long. And I don't know if you have that problem at all, but I feel like I'm constantly like in need of like clipping my nails.
Clipping the nails.
Yeah.
That does happen. I don't know if maybe like our genetics just cause our nails to grow real fast. But I often find myself thinking, or often will go what feels like too long without clipping them.
Yes,
and
precisely.
I will be like, oh man, it's getting too late.
So yes. Okay.
But I never seem to see anyone else who has this affliction.
Like with nails, fingernails that are too long.
And I would say that I've met a surprising number of people who, when you see their nails, it looks like when they're clipping them, they're like going so far back with the nail. Like, I don't know.
Like, yeah. So like if you were to look at my nails from if I were to face my hand at my, like with the nails facing away from me.
Yeah.
I can actually see my nails sticking out from my hand.
Like if you're looking at your palm.
If I'm looking at my palm.
Open hand palm, you can see your nails extending past the end of your finger.
Right. But I think what you're saying is that some people would clip them so short that you would not be able to see them.
I think Oh, for sure. I mean, right now I can't see them if I look at them in the same way. But I also would say that they are of regular length at the moment.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, yeah, this is it's almost the exact problem I used to have with haircuts.
Yeah.
Which was that, like, it was never something that was really explained to me as like try to maintain a constant look.
Yeah.
And so most of the time what I was doing was like cutting my haircut back to, you know, like base point and then letting it grow for 6 months, 8 months,
right.
Going and getting another haircut, going back to that baseline. And so especially if you watch years one and two of Super Carlin Brothers, you'll see this happening where, like, one, I'm learning how to like gel my hair and then like kind of getting the hang of it. And then my hair is getting way too long for the gel to be able to manage it anymore. Uh-huh. So it kind of goes like through varying stages of like, oh, he's kind of got it figured out to like, oh, he does not have it figured out.
Right.
And I always thought that was really like noticeable, especially when I would open my editing software and you could see all the like thumbnails for all the various videos.
Yeah.
And it's like, you could like see it grow, you know, whatever. But yeah. That's how I feel about my nails, is that they are, it's like, I haven't learned yet how to clip them when they need it instead of when they've become too long.
Right.
That's my dilemma.
Well, I think, you know, nail length is largely a preference thing, but I also think it's the sort of thing that when you're like, specifically, maybe if you're a guy growing up, it is the sort of thing that can garner negative attention if they're even like remotely too long.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
Like, you know, because like, you know, painting your nails or doing something is like traditionally maybe a more girly thing.
Okay, sure. You know,
growing up. So like girls have their nails painted and they look nice and they're taken care of all the time.
Right.
But because that often leaves their nails a little bit longer, like, the idea that having long nails is then girly, I guess. Does that make sense?
I think I follow the logic, but like, I disagree with it on the whole.
For sure. I agree. But this I think is the mentality of like a 8 to 15 year old boy potentially.
Sure. At least in our phase of coming up.
Let me tell you, let me not generalize. I will tell you that was my experience.
Yes. Okay. There you go. That's, I was going to say, that's a good way to do it. Yeah.
That like, it seemed like the math, that my peers were doing was that long nails or like any, like, and so the result was that you would see a lot of like, guys would have extremely short, almost like looked like their fingers were like stubby or something.
Yeah. I had one of my best friends growing up. I always noticed that, like, where it almost seemed like the nail. We've talked about this for way too long already.
people are like, guys, they're talking about fingernails.
Like, how long can it go on? Just wait till we get to the chalkboard segment. but yeah, no, I had a friend and I always wondered like what would happen if you let your nails grow out, because it seemed like they would almost like grow into like the skin, like as if they were like recessed into, I feel like I'm like wigging myself out now. I got the finger tingles. Oh. Okay. So last thought on this before we, abruptly change directions to any other topic whatsoever. There's a moment in How I Met Your Mother where I feel like they're so good at identifying like all these little things. But at one point in time, I think it's Lily says something where she's like, oh, it's like a guy whose fingernails are like too well kept. And I've always been like, well, what does that mean? Like, and then I'm like, yeah, it like sticks with me. I think about it like regularly, this like idea that a writer somewhere included this in a sitcom,
yeah,
to where it must be a relatable enough idea to where it's like, no, like that, like those fingernails too well cared for. It's like, what does that mean? Well,
interestingly though, on How I Met Your Mother, Barney regularly gets manicures.
Okay.
I think
okay.
In one episode he says he gets it like twice a week or something.
See, but maybe that is like what I'm not doing. So I have regularly scheduled haircuts now so that my hair never gets too long. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what I need with my fingernails so that they're not getting too long.
Do you know the other department? I feel like this would be a little bit of a left turn that I think I decided this was a problem was socks.
Socks. What about socks?
So like growing up, like middle school age, at some, like, I think like in elementary school, your mom, you know, your mom buys you socks, you put them on, you go to school.
Literally never think twice
about
it.
You don't think, you're like, these are socks, I put them on, whatever, no big deal. But at some point in my middle school career, if you had socks that went above your ankle, Like, oh, no good.
It was like the no-show socks.
Yeah, it was like, no, that was like bad news. Okay. Like, don't do that. So it's been interesting. So like, it, like my, like to this day, it affects me where I'm like, every sock I wear will either barely come, will barely come above the shoe.
Okay.
You know, like that, that's pretty much it. Like, as far as like athletic socks or something.
Sure, sure. If you're wearing like shorts.
Yeah, like if you're wearing shorts.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Showing a little ankle.
Exactly. Like socks that cover your ankle, no good. This is, and I know this is like leftover from like seventh grade.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I was like, something has been identified as not cool, and this is, you gotta reel it in. And it's like, and it's like in my mind, I'm like, okay, here's the thing. There's no situation, if as long as you keep the sock short, there's no situation in which you are at risk. Like,
okay.
If you go tall sock, like, I think right now, like, the tall sock look is sort of in, like, the tall athletic sock.
Yeah.
With, you know, is just sort of like an in thing. But I remember when I first started seeing it, I was like, man, these kids, they don't know what's up.
No,
like,
no one's told them yet.
They don't get it. I'm like, obviously, things have changed.
Yes, yes. I think you're exactly right. I remember... When I used to work at the aquarium store, I had this one, like, this one customer who came in, and he had a son who did the aquarium things with us, with him. And it always stood out to me because that was sort of like my relationship with our dad, was I would go and do the aquarium stuff. So these two guys, and you could tell that this guy's son was like cool, you know, like in his high school, he was cool.
Right.
But you're exactly right. There was one day when he came in and he was wearing the tall tube socks coming up like halfway up your calf. And he was wearing like athletic sandals.
Yeah.
And I was like the one strap, the one big strap sandal.
Like the Mark Zuckerberg social network sandals.
Yes. Yeah. Except for like maybe like a bit more like fashion forward version of those.
Right. Yeah.
But it was, yeah, like I remember, and I was like, ooh, this makes me like, does he have it? And then it was totally one of those things where the more than I was exposed to this and seeing more people do it, I was like, oh yeah, no. It was me that didn't understand.
Right. Like they in the know.
Yeah. In the know.
But like, yeah, you're right though. Like if I imagine walking into seventh grade homeroom with tall socks and one strap flip flops.
Yeah.
No good.
Well, and what I used to do. So I think that as this was happening, as the no show socks were becoming the in thing to do, I remember that I had like a 3-pack. That like we were buying shoes and I was like, Mom, can I get some of these socks? And she was like, sure. And so it was like 3 days a week, I was good, no prob. But then the other 2 days of the week, I was constantly having to do this like kind of improvised thing where I would take the tall sock and like literally fold it backwards down.
Oh, so this like this was a big thing for you too.
Oh yeah. No, I was definitely aware of it. But it was kind of like, it looked really not cool if you, I don't know. Based on whose opinion,
right,
mine,
yeah.
But like if you were to see the folded down sock, it was like, maybe it was also just because I knew what I was doing.
Right, yeah, and like, it was like you know, you're like cheating, and you're like, everyone can tell.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I remember it was something, especially in gym class, when you would like go to the locker room and change and stuff. It was like I was always kind of like trying to leave like a hoodie sort of on the ground near my feet, so that like as I would take my shoes off to change into shorts.
Oh man,
you were like kind of like hiding the fact that you had these like tube socks that were like double rolled down.
Yeah.
In order to like prevent it. Yeah. I was like, yeah, this was a thing. This was
a thing.
You brought it up, and at first I was like, oh yeah, socks. But then I went down the whole thing. Now I remember all sorts of memories from it.
Man. Now see, the interesting part about like that, how I think all that went down as I grew up, is like once I transitioned into the professional world, like in the mid 20 teens or so.
Yes.
And probably still now, wearing particularly flashy socks was like sort of a cool thing.
Yeah, so yeah. Like it sort of became a big thing for you.
Yeah, for sure. Because it was like a, you know, you're trying to figure out how to, you know, stand out, or like, you know, adapt a new style for your new professional life or whatever.
Right.
And when, especially for like men's fashion, it's all kind of, you know, about the same. You got a button down shirt. It's probably like blue or white or pink or whatever. Maybe you have some stripes. Maybe you have some, well, I don't know.
You're fairly limited in basically the world of shirt, tie, jacket,
right,
slacks,
pants. Yeah, yeah. You got, I had like khakis, I had a gray pair, I had a black pair, you know,
right,
whatever. I had a black pair of shoes and a brown pair of shoes.
Got it.
And but the really fun thing then you can do every day is like, well, what socks are you wearing? And it's like you realize it doesn't matter what you're wearing, the socks do not have to match at all. In fact, it's almost better if they don't. And it's just like I think part of me was like, oh my gosh, sock freedom. I've spent my whole life like worrying.
Right. Release me of these chains.
It's exactly what it was like. And then this is such a frustrating thing. So we did the Super Carlin Sock Club.
Yeah.
On the main channel for years.
Years. Like, people still bring it up and they're like, yeah, bring back. And you always had that soundbite that was like, these socks are amazing.
Yes. Yeah. We had the soundbite that we play at the end of everything. These socks are amazing. And I thought it was this fun thing. And so what I wanted to make it a thing on the channel. And because like when you're starting out on YouTube, especially like you have all these different ideas, like what are different ways we can like get, you know, get people's attention? How do we get noticed? How do we do a thing? How can we get people excited about something? And so in my mind, I was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to, every week, I'm just going to post a picture of whatever crazy socks I have. Because I had like, probably at the height of this, like 40 different pairs of socks.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
a lot. And it became a total like snowball gift. People like, oh, you like crazy socks? Here's more crazy socks. Hey. Like, okay, great. They're awesome. I love them. You know, and then it just sort of explodes out of nowhere. So like in my mind, I was like, okay, we can make this a thing. We can make like the sock club a thing. And then maybe we can like sell socks or something. Like
right,
it'll be like a fun, it'd be like a really natural transition or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It'd be like, you could have Super Carlin with their socks and we've done the sock club thing forever. It's like, what a perfect kind of merch.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. That never, ever panned out. But this was the funny thing that started happening was that I would post the socks on Instagram and it was kind of like you were talking about a couple weeks ago, like, oh, every day of the week I'll have like a theme.
Yes.
So every Tuesday it was like, I'm going to post a picture of socks every Tuesday because that's when I do videos, right? But the people who were noticing it and who it actually caught fire with was not the YouTube audience, but a different section of my Instagram audience, which were other marketing people in the company I worked for.
Oh, because, wow.
Yes. So I did event marketing, as we've talked about. And we, you know, like I worked at our venue, but I worked for like a venue management company and they right, had venues all over the country. So like every month you'd get on a call with people who were also doing marketing at, you know, 10 other venues on the East Coast or something.
Sure, sure.
And you'd sort of get to know them. And once a year there's a conference and you get to meet them all and, you know, everyone adds each other. It's, you know, it's very fun conferences and stuff. But so anyway, because these are all the other young professionals who were probably wearing fun socks, who I now know, and everyone's like the same age, like those are the people that caught on with.
Yes.
And I started getting emails from people that like within the company, they wanted to do like a weekly sock club and like have, you know, I don't,
what?
I know this started happening. I was like I had this great idea that I wanted to do for my YouTube channel. And now it is catching on with my work life instead.
It's like, no.
And it wasn't like, no, because that was also a good thing. It was like, hey, look what I started. This was fun.
Right, right.
You know, like, hey, look, what a cool thing. But the problem was then, like, I wanted to continue to do it for Super Carlin Brothers. And it was like, if I start posting on my captions on my Instagram, like Super Carlin Sock Club or whatever, like the other people, like they basically, like the exact idea I had was what they came up with to do.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, if I try and steal it back, they're going to think I took the idea from them when they have just run with exactly what I wanted to do for me.
Oh.
It was this like hilarious problem I had. It was like, how do I do that? How do I do this?
Right.
How am I going to get out of this? And ultimately what happened is it just tapered off at work. And I just did it anyway. And nice. I did get a few messages like, hey, this seems familiar. And I was like, yeah, yes, you almost stole it from me.
Almost.
Almost.
I came up with it first.
I came up with this.
I have proof.
Yeah, like, yeah, I had this whole plan. It
right,
was very long-term planning. And anyway, we never sold socks. So.
We never sold socks. I know. I think it was something that we brought up with the first ever, like, I don't even know how to describe him, talent manager that we had. And it was like, this was like one of those things where, I don't know, we were like, like, you know, they pitch it to you as if like, we can help you achieve your vision and like, whatever, like merchandising, we're there for all that. And we were like, we want to do socks. And they were like, don't do socks. And it was like, well,
like, why not? Like, surprisingly, socks are kind of hard to make. And, you know, it was like, I don't know whatever the reason was, but it was like, we are set up. Like, we could not be a brand with an audience that's more leaned in on the socks.
On the socks, yeah. It's like Super Carlin Brothers socks. How perfect.
It's in every video already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I feel like that was a real, probably a missed opportunity.
I feel like it was maybe just bad advice.
I feel like it probably was, because the same person told us not to do coffee mugs. And
it's like our most popular thing ever.
Most popular thing. Yeah. Like, so, yeah. Anyway,
there we go.
Anyway, that's a peek behind the curtain for you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. No, it's I think it's so interesting, those early days of YouTube, though, because we may have talked about this before. I'm not sure. But I remember, like, as we were starting, you know, like you desperately want to find a way to like have the channel and all this effort that you're putting into it, like generating some revenue. Like you want to be able to start like believing that you're moving closer towards like, this could be my full-time job. And if that's the case, then like, you know, it'd be so much more fun. But you definitely spend a long time churning in the beginning where like nothing's really happening.
Right.
But I feel like we had this really like leaned in audience, and I've always felt this way, but like almost if brands had recognized the fact that any of them that had supported us at that point in time while we were so small, the like 2,000 people that were watching our videos every week would have been like, thank you for supporting these guys. We will buy the product because you're helping them.
Right.
You know, it was always like, I always felt like things would have been more successful very early on than when they finally came around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it I don't know. It was just such a weird thing.
Right.
I wanted it to go sooner.
Well, it consumes so much of what you're thinking about, because it's, you know, especially when you first start out, it takes up almost all of your free time.
Right.
Whereas like now it's all of our like work time. So we have free time to have other, you know, endeavors and lives.
You're doing something outside of this?
The endeavors are like spending time with my family.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
Or really anything, as opposed to go to your job all day and then come home and immediately spend all of the rest of your waking hours also doing YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That was the early days.
Those were the early days.
Oh, yes. Jay, how about a fun fact about coyotes?
Oh, yeah. Let's hear it, Ben. What's your fun fact about coyotes this week?
Today's fun fact about coyotes is that the coyote runs with its tail down. Dogs run with their tails up, and wolves run with their tails straight out.
Wow.
I know. I thought it was very interesting.
I wonder what accounts for that. You'd think, to me, just guessing, it sounds like the wolf has got the way to go.
It seems like the wolf is like streamlined.
Streamlined. It's like, look out, man. I'm coming.
I know. It's very interesting. And it's like, the tail of the dog is definitely one of those things, especially in these like in the wild circumstances, or even like herding dogs very frequently will either, it's never been very clear to me whether or not they don't have tails genetically or if they're docked when they're young. And I think maybe it's a combination of both. But I think that like a herding dog, for example, can like damage its tail if like a cow steps on it or something. Okay. So it's better to not have a tail. But I'm not sure if the breed of dog was selected for that reason or if there's something else contributing to it. But I wondered about running with its tail down, because it feels like that could be dangerous for it. Like, it seems like it could run into something.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah, me either. Yeah. Me either. Coyotes.
What are you doing?
What fascinating creatures.
Well, because the other thing, I think it's interesting that this is just part of what they do, because with regular dogs, you always hear that, like, if you see their tail between their legs, it's because they're, like, upset.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Yep. So, absolutely.
Like, with that in mind, if I saw a coyote and it was running and it had a tail between its legs, I'd be like, oh, man. Like,
no, you could just be like, Ben, come speak to the coyote.
Ben, Kip, this coyote needs a little pep talk.
And I'd be like, hey, friend, let's talk.
I got some words for you.
There you go. Got some words for you. Okay, so speaking of words.
Yeah.
Hardcore segue. Here is a conversation I've been having with Alice over the past couple of weeks.
Okay.
We had a really fascinating discovery about the difference in the way that both of us think.
Okay.
So my question is, do you have an inner monologue? And does that inner monologue, is it like, do you speak words inside of your head?
Right. Like, is it like something you hear almost?
Right. So like, yeah, exactly. Like when you speak words, are you almost like speaking words for yourself to then hear? But I, right. I suppose because they're your thoughts, you're both hearing them and saying them simultaneously.
Right.
I don't know if there's a delay involved
this,
with that.
This is one of those classic situations where as soon as you try and self-assess, it becomes impossible.
It becomes so hard.
Like while you're thinking about it, like I can think in words and like try and hear them. But I'm like, am I always doing that? Is that, I will say that I saw you put this note on the document a while ago, and I have taken to, since I don't have my real life chess set yet.
Not yet.
But I've been just doing some, it's like some practice games against some computer opponents.
Okay. Are you winning?
Boy, let me tell you, not, no.
No!
It is, well, I've got several different, depending on whatever device I'm holding or in front of.
Okay.
Like if you have a Mac, like there's a built-in chess app on
okay.
that,
whether
okay. or not you've ever opened it.
I sure haven't.
It's not. PC, not so much. I actually went on to Steam and there's a free chess game and you can pay for the premium like for like $1. And I was like, okay, turn all the ads off. Sounds good to me.
Handy.
And then I also have a whole different app on my phone that I can play on. And the one on my phone is the one I've been doing the most because I just have my phone with me the most.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And let me just say, I feel like, I think Beth almost wanted me when I started doing this to like, she was like, you need to just stop doing this because it seems like it's making you really frustrated.
Oh, really?
I understand where she's coming from entirely because it has like four difficulty settings on it, which is like easy, normal, hard, like very hard.
Okay.
Or whatever. And so I was like, okay, I played quite a bit of chess in my younger days or whatever. Let me just set it on normal here. And like the amount of brain power I would put in to like the end result was infuriating. So like, how is this maybe I'm just like rusty or something, or like, I cannot believe that like the rate at which I am failing here.
Do you think that maybe you're a lot more, because we talk about this all the time, and I feel like you almost like get frustrated that people know that you have this reputation for being good at games. Do you think that maybe you have underestimated how much you win at games and now losing at games? It's like, well, I don't like to lose. This is very frustrating.
No. Like I definitely do not like to lose. And like, I know when we're in these situations that like I win a lot of games and stuff like that.
Right.
But I'm just mostly complaining because I was like, okay, let me take a breather here. Let me put it on the easy setting and see what the difference is.
Yeah.
And the problem I found was that if you put it on easy, it is like stupid easy.
Oh, I see.
Like you put it on easy, it's like, this isn't even challenging.
Okay.
Like, you know, it's not and like, I don't know what I'm hoping for. Some like down the middle 51% victory
sure.
every time or something.
I mean, I feel like that would probably, I mean, to me, it would feel like the best difficulty level to be operating at would be, it's taking effort and energy, but you're still winning.
Right.
I suppose would be the outcome.
Yeah, like, you want to feel like you successfully outthought the opponent.
Right.
This is like, oh, move this pawn. Let me move this pawn here to be threatened by their queen. And if they take it, which of course they won't, I'll just steal it with my knight or whatever. But then it's like, oh no, they did take it. Like that was like, you know, no one would ever
right. It would be so,
you know,
obvious.
Trade their queen for a pawn.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's such a dumb move as to no one would do it.
Okay, so let me back up here because you said there was like easy, medium, hard, extra hard.
Yeah.
Okay, and so you've been losing at medium?
Yes.
Okay.
I would say I've like won once, stalemated once, and I probably lost like 7 times.
Okay. Yeah. So I would say in the scheme of things, still probably pretty early in your
re-entry to the game or whatever.
Okay,
sure.
So you said that you were connecting this to your inner monologue, like
yeah.
the way that you're thinking. So what's going on with that? Like,
let's circle back.
Well, I'm just curious, yeah, like how you got there, because it sounds like what's happening is that you're playing chess, you're losing at chess, and it's making you frustrated to the point where Beth is like, why do you keep doing it?
Right.
Okay.
Well, so the inner monologue part is not nothing to do with like the end result. It's more like the actual gameplay itself, where I'm trying to think through what to do.
Oh, I see.
So
okay.
Like I can like very clearly hear myself like planning out like, okay, if I move here, then he takes, I take. No, that doesn't work. Like, okay, what if I move this here, that there? Like I can hear all that thought process. Like I'm not saying it out loud.
Right.
But I can like really hear what's happening, especially in like a way that other activities are not like making me like really think very like duh.
Okay.
But like, I think this is always the question. Like when you read, are you like hearing yourself read in your head?
Yeah.
Okay. Cause some people are just like, you know, they're just like,
they're scanning the page.
Yeah. And it's very hard to self-assess. And it's one of those where like, is everyone actually experiencing it the same and like self-describing it differently? Or like self-reporting it differently?
Right. Like we've talked about that before. Like, is it possible that people see colors differently? And so this was, to circle back to why I brought it up. So Alice does not have an inner monologue. Like she doesn't form sentences in her head. Like when she's thinking about things, she's typically thinking like about specific memories. Like she's like reliving memories or imagining locations that she knows of. So like when she's thinking about going to the grocery store, she's not like, okay, I need milk, eggs, and bacon. She's like picturing milk, eggs, and bacon as like things that are on the list.
Right.
But they're not words. They're like the items themselves.
The images, right. Yeah. I would say to answer your question, I think, yes, I do have an inner monologue.
Okay.
I would also say that would be reinforced by the fact that often I will like pace around and speak said monologue out loud.
I do the same thing. And very frequently, this is like where I've talked about this before, but I feel like I have a very, very brief short-term memory like cache.
Yeah.
So like for me, a lot of times it's not like I can set like multiple ideas up in a row and have them all like ready access. Mm-hmm. It's almost like if I don't write them out in front of me, I will like immediately start forgetting, you know, certain things unless I have like a mnemonic device specifically to remember them, you know? And so that is one though, like, but if I'm like talking out loud and saying it into the room, it's almost like I have then heard the information as well as thought the information.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I can digest more at once, with the only caveat being that you can only talk to yourself typically within the privacy of being only with yourself.
Like, yeah.
You're probably not walking around your house like while Beth is doing dishes and like just talking in full sentences to you.
Not out loud.
Yeah.
Certainly not.
Right.
Yeah.
So sometimes I actually deeply benefit from being able to speak to myself.
Oh, my inner absolutely. Monologue. Yeah. This is like a huge thing, especially when we're writing videos.
Yes.
Because the way I write is with a lot of like voice and like very conversationally. So a lot of times what can happen when you're like writing a script is that you will write it and then you will like go back and correct it to be good writing. But good writing is not always good talking.
Right.
Good talking. Like people, this was actually going back to my lovely acting class, which somehow we always seem like we circle back to.
Jay, it's because it was a pivotal moment of your life.
Apparently.
Whether or not you realize it, I feel like that's something. Actually, this might transition nicely here in a few minutes. Whether or not you realize it, it was a huge change.
Huge change. I would recommend everyone take intro to acting if you can in
especially
college.
At Virginia Tech.
Especially at Virginia Tech. One of the earliest assignments was to just go to a dining hall and eavesdrop on people.
Okay.
And to try and record what they were saying by hand and then basically analyze the speech pattern that they were using.
Yep.
Because the way people talk out loud, especially to each other, is filled with tons of shorthand and vocal fillers and ers and ums and shortcuts and like a lot of fill in the blanks.
A lot. Yeah. I literally almost said that exact thing as you were like reaching for the words.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, yeah, you would get to the end of the sentence and then I would complete it for you and it would just carry on.
Right.
Which, yeah, would from a writing perspective, you would imagine that if character one completed the other character sentence, that there would be some type of narrative reason
yeah.
that the other person did that.
Yeah. The point is that part of the way I will like sometimes try and get to the next line of the script is to like walk around and just sort of imagine I'm explaining this video where like often I will imagine I'm talking to you.
Okay.
That was because that was how I did so many of the early videos.
Right.
It was to you.
Right.
So I'll be like, okay, so then Harry in, you know, whatever we're talking about. And I will, the problem is I always want to be right next to the computer because so often I will like put it right out in front of me. I will say exactly the sentence I want, like, oh, that made sense. And then I'll be like, how did I say that? And by the time I get to the computer, it is completely gone.
Completely gone.
Oh, and I hate that. And I'm like, I almost need to walk around like with a voice recorder out or something.
Right, right, right.
But like at the same time, it's like, I know as soon as the recorder's on, then I'm not naturally talking. I'm now like performing.
For the recorder.
And it drives me crazy when I lose the thread of it like that. Because the way my basement is set up, I've got my computers in my office, but there's not a lot of room to pace in there. So I'll go like out to the playroom where Luke plays.
Sure.
But boy, if I get a good sentence, I got to like run back.
Put it down.
Don't forget it. That was exactly the right wording.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. No, that's that's one of those things where I've always thought that I was on the Truman Show, you know, like.
Don't we all?
Do we all?
I don't know.
Very curious question. So in case you don't know what the Truman Show is, basically the very short version of it is that it's an entire television show that revolves around one person's life. And they've literally followed him from birth all the way up until he's an adult. And all of the people that he knows and everything that he does is all part of like an elaborate scheme.
Yeah, it's all part of a show.
And he's the main character. So like they work, the way that it gets funding is like his wife will come home and be like, I got the new salad chopper.
Yeah.
You know. And like we'll describe that item and then people out in the real world can actually go and buy it.
Right. Like that's how they like inadvertently insert commercials into the show.
Exactly. Without him realizing it. But this is very much like the idea that you're at the center of your own universe. So like you always feel like there's a grand, like you are at the middle of the story and everything else is just happening around you. But right. it would be so interesting for those moments when you like say something out loud and the audience heard you say it and then immediately watch you pop onto the computer and try to like recap it.
Yeah.
It'd be like, it would be so interesting to watch it from a third party perspective and be like, he didn't quite get it. He forgot that one word.
Got that one word. Yeah, mm. It's like, he had it the first time.
We know, but he doesn't.
We know. The thing about the Truman Show, I was reading about this just a couple of months ago because it is just one of those movies that like once you've seen it, you can't unsee it.
You can't unsee
the Truman Show.
You forever think you are the star of the Truman Show.
And what much of the writing about the Truman Show is like, it's almost like prophetic nature.
Okay.
Like how like today in 2020, anyone can basically be on a screen. You know, you can carry a camera around with you and record every aspect of your life and put it up online for everyone to see.
Sure.
And, you know, like the advent of reality TV, like this is a huge thing.
Right.
Everyone, you know, doesn't even have to like wonder, are they on the Truman Show? They can physically put themselves on the Truman Show.
Okay.
But the contrast to the movie itself is that Truman in the movie
does not know,
and that's the real magic of it,
right?
And that's so like you wonder if you're on the Truman Show. It's like, well, I don't know, like if you're trying to be on the Truman Show, then you're not, you know?
Right.
I guess that was sort of, it was a very interesting read how it like predicted how people would want to be like, because I guess even when it came out, the idea of like being on camera or being on TV was still like very novel.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
There wasn't like streaming internet when the movie came out.
Right. You're talking like, yeah, I think like 1990s.
Yeah. 90s, late 90s, somewhere in there. Jim Carrey's career was sort of. And apparently, this is now just sort of tangenting. The Truman Show was like a real like self-reflection type movie for Jim Carrey himself. It was like a real turning point in his career.
Oh, interesting.
Because like he had just finished like The Mask and Ace Ventura and something
Liar
else.
Liar?
Maybe Liar Liar.
Okay.
I don't know. There was like three really big ones where he was in like full super crazy like animated Jim Carrey
mode.
Like the hottest person in Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah, mode. Yeah.
And like the who he was to the camera versus not the camera was become like a really blurry line and stuff like personally for him.
Okay.
Yeah. Stuff like that. Anyway,
that is it's incredibly interesting. And I think you're right. Like, I think the idea of not knowing. But then I think the other thing for me about this like kind of idea phenomenon, as we always like to say, if it's me and if I am on this show, it's almost that like desire to become self-aware of it. because like, it'd be like, how long could he possibly go without figuring it out? Like, surely he must know. And so it's like that moment for me. It's like if I say it out into the world, it's like, guys, I know. It's like, I'm like looking around, you know, like I know this is happening. I know you're all watching.
Well, so it's so weird because like, if you try and think about, if you try and like extrapolate out, like how could it like work? You almost get to the point where, you know, you've lived enough of the life, you've traveled as far as you have for the Truman Show to be truly happening to you.
The set has to be the world.
Almost all of Earth has to be the set, and everything has to be happening completely naturally the way it is, but you are the only focus.
Right.
Like, everyone is part of the show, even if, like Earth basically exists to create the world in which you live so other aliens can watch your existence.
But see, okay, so that's the thing, though, is that that would be... maybe this would be taking it such a huge step in a different direction, is not even that... it's you, the person or whatever. Like, you might be a character in the show, mm-hmm. but like, when you think about how big the galaxy is and mm-hmm. the universe and everything, it's like, what if the planet itself is the story?
Right.
Like, that's what's actually happening, is that it literally is like a set. And it's like, we're just going to go put people down there and just like watch.
Yeah. I hope we don't get canceled, man. No, I think is actually an actual storyline in an episode of South Park.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Earth is a reality show and it's up for cancellation and they have to go convince them.
Oh my gosh.
Not to cancel it. And the premise is that, like, you know, like if you watch Star Wars, there's always like one species that covers the whole planet.
Right.
And the premise is like, they took every species from all the other worlds and just put them in like there's a whole world where it's just deer and there's a whole world where it's just cows, but we put everything,
in one spot.
What happens?
Well, yeah. Let's see.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, no, it seems pretty interesting. Okay, so then next question to cause as much existential crisis in one episode as humanly possible is how much do you think your perception of yourself is different from the way that other people perceive you?
Oh, Ben, this is... if people knew, who knows?
A lot,
like, I would think.
I have this struggle constantly where I'm like, it's like I know... how much goes on inside of like my brain and like how many different things I think about in a given day. And I'm like, how do other people see me? Do they have any idea how much I'm like turning over events and interactions and conversations and individual moments? Mm-hmm. Like, do they have any idea I spend most of my life just like reliving and replaying specific things just to like see how I did,
right?
Or like how something went down, or if there was a specific inflection. Like, there's a whole episode of Black Mirror where they have cameras in their eyes, and
yes,
it's a very interesting episode. And the guy has this like moment at a dinner party where his like wife laughs a little bit too loud at another person at their dinner party's joke, and then basically the premise of the episode is him reviewing. Starting with that laugh, he's like going back and like finding all of these other moments that might connect the pieces of the puzzle to tell the big story of what he just realized was happening.
Well, he's like paranoid his wife's having an affair.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think that's the moment that like tells him or something.
That's like what tips him off. And it's you know, it's the, I don't want to spoil the episode for people, but it's, you know, it has a very Black Mirror type ending. But yeah, it's an interesting thing where it's like, is it they show very creatively throughout the episode all the different ways in which this has like penetrated every person's life.
Yes.
They're like, oh, all things are replayable at all times, and people will like cast their memories literally like into the TV then, basically.
Right.
So, like, and relive them. Which I always feel like must create some sort of weird like infinite loop of like, you now have a memory of watching a memory of, you know,
oh, yeah,
and then
a good
you can watch a memory of you watching a memory of you watching a memory. Anyway, but ultimately, you know, I think the guy decides like, and this is worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so anyway, but that episode always really stood out to me because I feel like that is how I tend to like live my life.
Yeah.
Like, I will have conversations with people and then like literally spend like the next like several days, like recapping the conversation, trying to remember it to the best of my ability. Mm-hmm. And I remember when this really started getting strange for me was like when I went to college and, you know, there's those evenings with libations.
Yeah.
And you'd be like talking to like a variety of different people. And it would be kind of like none of the conversations were really that important, really, mm-hmm. in the scheme of things. But like it could have been just friends of friends or something like that. And I feel like a lot of times what would happen is I would like go to bed that night and I would try. And this is like what used to always kill me. I would try to replay all the conversations I'd had through the night and like, yeah. try to like remember. But this is where the impact of the libations was making everything like that much harder, yeah. to like see past. And I used to like lie in bed the whole night just being like, I need to remember how that conversation went and how they reacted, because it seemed like they reacted in a way I didn't expect, but I can't remember what that reaction was. And I don't, yeah. know, you know, like lots of little moments like that.
I will say I have experienced sometimes in real life, like the reality that the perception I think other people have, like that my self-perception does not match what people actually think.
Yes. Or
I don't feel like I'm phrasing that appropriately.
Like you see you differently than the rest of the world sees you.
Well, the way that I imagine people see me is different than how they actually are.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Which I guess maybe is my own self-perception. Like your self-perception is what you perceive other people to perceive of you.
I think that there's probably something to that. Anyway. Unless there's a layer to it where you are acknowledging the reality that is, of course, they don't know all of your individual thoughts and they haven't had all of your life experiences. Well,
let me tell you, this is a weird one that I feel like cropped up for me in my adult life in a way that was like sort of surprising to me on several occasions. Like growing up, you know, going like through high school and stuff, we did sports all the time.
Right.
You know, we were like we did soccer and then basketball and then soccer again. We ran cross country. We'd run swim team.
Yep.
You know, constantly active, constantly running. It was like a very, like I considered myself fairly athletic.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, like I would have like, you know, and I would have considered anyone to know me to consider that a regular part of my personality. Like you would expect me to be athletic.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
So I remember at one point, like realizing at my old job, there was like that this was clearly not what I was projecting out, that the perception of me was not as like an athletic person at all.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, and you know, I guess the people there would only ever know me in this like professional setting,
right,
or something. But you know, if they were like calling to go play, like every now and then there'd be like the basketball court set up or something for like the Globetrotters coming in.
Okay.
And so it'd be like, oh, everyone's gonna go to a basketball tonight. It was like, or someone's got like a football out, or even if they were like going golfing or something, like the idea that I was gonna be any good or an asset in any way was just not present.
Oh,
was
like you would not have been picked first.
Right. And it was just like, what is going on here?
Sure.
Like, it was very weird. And I was like, what am I projecting that is, like, that is how I very much want to be perceived.
Sure,
and I
don't, sure.
Not, like, I am feel like I, and it is mind-boggling to me that this is not how it's being, how whatever I'm putting out there is not being received that way.
Right, and, right.
Like, I remember a similar thing happening even at, like, a church once upon a time, which is, you know, you're in this, like, peer group of people who are, like, your age.
Right.
I remember there was this situation where, you know, where everyone was meeting at night, and there was just a bunch of tables set up in this, like, big open room.
Okay.
Some of the guys were, like, trying to, like, run and jump over a table.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I mean, as you do.
I was like, yeah.
Totally. I love that game, personally.
Exactly. And I remember, like, you know, they both jumped over. I was like, ooh, let me try. And, like, I remember, like, I jumped, cleared it. And it was, like, the reaction was, like, a little too surprised that it was, like, oh, I can't, like, wow, that was out of nowhere. Who would have thought? And I was just like, what do you mean? I was like,
I did triple jump. Like, I did high jump. Yeah, like
I'm a known good jumper. What are you jumping is like a thing I pride myself on. Like, what do you, this is, you shouldn't be surprised. Right.
Oh, this is very interesting.
I can't tell you how much it bothered me. Like what, why don't people, I don't understand why people don't, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That is not, and it's like, then the thing I'm like, well, if their perception of me is just like someone they see at church and who does YouTube and talks about Harry Potter, maybe they just think I'm, I don't know.
Like maybe the quickest connection, if you're connecting dots, there isn't to natural born high jumper.
Yeah. Which is not to say I'm like amazing.
Sure.
High jump
or
something.
Right.
But not, but like, you know, but generally athletic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and it's funny to hear me, or for me to hear you describe that situation, because of course I would have been there through all of those things. Right. So I don't think that there would be a whole lot of doubt in my mind that you would have physical fitness. And it would be strange for me to hear that is something that other people would have doubted. Because the other thing is you're reasonably tall and lean, just as like a build for a person.
Sure.
So I think there's that as well. I think sort of on the flip side, I have talked a lot about how in high school, one of my bigger like regrets in life, I don't know if that's really the right way to say it, something I wish I'd done differently is played high school football. Mm-hmm. Because I always really liked football, but we didn't play it as like a little league sport or anything. And so I was always very intimidated because I didn't really know how to like play the game. Mm-hmm. Like I would go and play pickup games of football, but that was mostly like hike, run, catch the ball, run.
Right.
You know, whatever.
Two hand touch, beat, you know, the one defender kid from the neighborhood.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And not to mention from having run cross country and track for so many years, I was like a literal beanpole. I mean, I weighed, I think 130 pounds.
Yeah.
My senior year of high school, 6 foot tall. So, I mean, very, very tall. You know, probably if many of the guys had tackled me, I probably would have just snapped right in half. but I had a couple of moments like where we would be playing games of like pickup football in the field, you know, the practice field or whatever, in gym class. And it would be one of those moments where, like, you know, there'd be two captains and I would get picked first, like with football players like out there on the field. And I'm like, I think that was one of those things that like encouraged me so much. Like it was like
really validating.
Right. It was like me, but there's like,
you jest,
these other people over here. Okay. And I don't know. I think, yeah, maybe on the flip side of yours, I took enormous pride in that. That was like, it's like, how can I tell people? I'm like, I know 15 years from now, I'll start a podcast and tell the story. And then people will finally know.
They'll get it.
They'll get it. Oh my gosh. Well, I feel like we covered a fair bit though. Do you have anything else to add?
Okay. I'm going to do one more thing just because that's literally what I called it in the notes.
Okay.
Let's do one more thing.
Let's do one more thing.
One more thing.
I love it.
This is a phenomenon. I think I was talking about this the other day. This is what I'm going to call do it now versus one more thing.
Do it now.
Does that mean anything to you on the surface?
Well, okay. Okay. Maybe. I think that you've discussed before with me that I am like a one more thing type of person. Am I on to something here?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I'm late always.
It's a given.
People know this about me.
Let me tell you how people perceive you, Ben. It says late. No one expects. At this point, it's just people are expecting it. In your most inner circles.
Yes, I do think people. One of my closest friends, when we go mountain biking together, I'll be like, all right, I'll see you at 11. And he'll get there at like 11:20 on purpose and still wait 5 minutes. And be like,
Ben, I would say at least once a month, we probably have like a family dinner at our parents' house.
Yeah.
And, you know, whatever. If it was 6:30 or something, it would blow my mind if I showed up to mom and dad's and you were already there.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah, that's not going to happen.
I know.
But I think you have described this to me before as it's because typically, like, as I'd be getting, because typically what's happening is I'm ready. Like, it's not like, like I'm not, like I need to like shower or something. And it's like, you know, I'm supposed to be there at 6:30 and it's 6:20 and I still have to shower.
Yeah.
And so, but a lot of times it'll be like, all right, well, I'll walk the dogs and then I'll come back. I'm like, okay, like I can put the living room back together really quick, like put all the pillows down, karate chop them perfectly, you know, that whole bit. Yeah. Maybe take out the trash real fast and wipe down the counters.
It's only going to take like 30 more seconds.
Right. Start the dishwasher.
Yeah.
Build a chest of drawers. You know, like little things you do as you're walking the house.
Well, I'm already late. Maybe. At this point, what's the difference between 10 minutes late and 20 minutes late?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Maybe finally time to understand what E equals MC squared means.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So like that, I think that is what you would describe as one last thing.
One more thing.
One
yeah.
More
so
thing.
I've been on the flip side of that is I think this just do it right now mentality where I've been trying to like train myself to do this recently, where oftentimes I will see a thing that needs to be done that like will take 10 seconds, like nothing, just do it right now.
Okay.
And I will just like, or I can just, it's such a small task as to Doesn't even, I could do it later and we'll lose nothing.
Right.
Right.
So, okay. Like, would you consider like taking the trash out to be one of these things? Like,
no, it might be.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, trash is the sort of thing where it's like, if you don't take the trash out, well, yeah, I would say, sure. I would classify this here.
To me, it feels like, cause a lot of times, like, the trash can be like one of those where it's like, ugh, I'm gonna have to like put on shoes or walk out in the cold or it's raining or something like that. It's like, but it needs to be taken out.
I'm thinking even like more minute. Like if I'm sitting on the couch and there is a glass in front of me on the coffee table,
uh-huh,
and I'm about to walk to the bathroom or something.
Right.
I might look at the glass and be like, and I would like have a conversation in my head, like, should I pick up the glass and take it with me and put it in the kitchen? Like, nah.
Nah.
And it'll be like, of course, like, you know, like, what difference does it make? You know, it's right. You just got to move the glass. That's not going to take you long if you just do it later. You don't have to do that right now.
Right.
It's like, because it feels like that's something that needs to be done. That's going to have to make its way to the kitchen at some point. And it's just like, but why on earth would you not just bring it with you? Like, it's right in front of you. You're going to walk right past it. And it's like, why? Like, but there are times where I know I've just like thought about it and decided not to. And then I'll get up and like turn around and be like, maybe I should. I'm already up. You know, and it's just like, you, what are you doing? Like, just pick it up and put it in the kitchen and it is done.
Right.
And it's just like, just do it nowness of it. Like it's, I think, like training yourself, just take care of these little things right now, because even though they feel tiny later when you have to do all of them, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. I really do. Cause I would say that's me. And this is much larger scale than moving a glass, but it's me with laundry. And I will ebb and flow with this, where I will do like a year and a half rock steady, super solid, mm-hmm, always on it. And then I'll have a year and a half where I'm terrible and there's heaps and piles and three different containers that I've deemed hampers that have various forms of either these clothes were cleaned, but now how long have they sat there? And did I start putting dirty clothes on top of them? I better just wash it all again. Better do the whole thing. But like it's like, if you just wash 1 week's worth of clothes in one go, then it's like, okay, like washing one load, folding takes 15 minutes. Not that much stuff.
Yeah.
Like nice, easy, simple, but more often than not lately, I'm like, nah, I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. It's like, I have more clothes.
Right.
Like, I'm okay.
Oh, what you're describing is like the college dishes problem.
It is the college dishes problem. Yep. Everybody comes to college with their own set of dishes.
Their own set of dishes.
And if there are more clean dishes, then why wash one when there's already a pile of dirty dishes?
Exactly. If you, let me, pro tip for all of you moving to college and you're going to live in a townhouse off campus with your three best buds, only one of you needs to bring dishes.
If everyone
brings dishes, they will never get done.
Never.
Because one, there will always be another clean dish until there's not, which means there are four sets of dirty dishes on your one sink, and it's so many different people's fault that it's there that no one will do it.
Yep. It's the bystander effect.
It's the bystander. Oh man, there's a lot of things at work here.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just my pro tip for you. But so the thing I've realized that has been a good teacher for me to like, just act, just do it. Just okay. Get it done right now.
Is Nike.
Is what?
Nike.
No.
That's their slogan.
Yeah. Has been my AirPods on my nightstand.
Okay.
Because most nights as I'm falling asleep, I'll have like one of them in my ear and I'll like set a sleep timer on Audible and I'll just listen to some more book.
Okay.
Get some reading in.
Absolutely.
You know, but inevitably by the next morning, they're both just sort of not in the case, which charges them.
Okay.
And if they don't make it into the case by the time I make it to bed the next night, they will be dead.
Okay.
And I will no longer be able to listen. I will have to sit there and not be able to listen to my book.
The worst.
Well, it's very frustrating, you know, because you're like laying there. This is like something that helps me fall asleep.
Right.
So if I can't do it, it's no good at all. So I've really taken to anytime I like walk past the nightstand and I look down and I see the AirPods there, just immediately put them in, because it's going to take 2 seconds and then you will not have this problem. No matter what, you will not have the problem later. You fix it right now, cannot be a problem later.
It is true. It is true. Yeah. All I'm hearing though is that you're about to start to be late to things.
No, this is exactly what I'm like. This is the line you tread.
I know. Yeah. I know.
I'm like, now there's a fine line here, because if you start adapting this and you go too far in one direction, you could be one more thing guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be me.
Yeah. Then you got to reel back.
You don't want that.
Yeah. So that's the, I think we are both living on two sides of this coin.
I think we are. Yeah. I think we are. It's very, very funny. But it, oh yeah, it's so hard, I think, because a lot of times I have tried over and over and over again in my life to just be like, okay, every Tuesday night for 15 minutes, I'm just going to complete this task. And every Wednesday night for 15 minutes, I'm going to complete this task. And this is all going to like leave me so optimized that I'll mm-hmm. never have to do that one more thing problem again.
Right.
You know, like I'm going to beat it to the punch. I'm going to be preemptive.
Right. Exactly.
But the problem with like a finely tuned system is that a single grain can throw the whole thing off.
Oh yeah.
And my life is anything but consistent.
Sandy.
Like I have the sandiest life ever. Mm. My gears rusty.
Yeah.
Like because of the sand.
Right.
And the salt.
Mm-hmm.
And granola, strangely. I don't know where that came from.
You know, if you have a car long, there's probably some McDonald's french fries that have wedged their ways down there in the gears.
Way down in the gears.
Way down in the gears.
Why do they not seem like they get older?
Answer that question next time you're eating.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think it's like the best laid plans, though. It's I envy people who live a strict and disciplined lifestyle, because I'm like, I wish I could do that. Like I can see the benefit. I understand the efficiency. I just can't do it.
It's just, yeah, I mean, I hear you. I feel like oftentimes I will look around, especially, God, we got the three kids, and it's like there's just mess.
They're just mess.
It's like, you think you got a lot of laundry with two people? Wait till there's five, you know?
But that might be it could be my saving grace. I've always known this about myself, is that I am better if I have absolutely no time to choose otherwise.
Right.
Like, it's the best semester of college I ever had. I was taking the best grades I ever got, best performance across the board.
Mm-hmm.
I was working over 40 hours a week for my aquarium company. I had 18 credit hours and two keystone courses for both of my majors.
Right.
So like two of the hardest classes that I took my entire college career.
Yeah.
While working more than full time.
Right.
And I got like all A's and a B. And it was because there was like no time available to not do the things that were required.
Right. If you don't do it, you can't do it. And if you didn't do it, you fail.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yep. And so it was like, instead of having it, like getting out of class and being like, oh, I have 3 hours. Like I'll watch a couple of episodes of a TV show. I'll make some dinner and then I'll get it knocked out. Then it was like, dude, you got 40 minutes. And if you don't do it, there is literally not another slate of time. Get it done now.
Right.
And so I got it done then.
So just be busier.
Just be busier.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to fill in all of the available gaps of my time so that there's nothing left. And then I'll be on top of it, or struggling and terrified. Who's to say?
That's, I know, right? Who's to say? Yeah. Well, we'll see.
There we go. All right, guys. If you have any feedback for this week's episode of The Pop, you can send it to popcornculturepod@gmail.com, or you can find us over on Reddit, where we have a happening little community that's just growing little bit by bit. If you haven't already left a review for the podcast, it does help us out. We do appreciate that. And we want to give a special thanks to these patrons who now support us over on Patreon. We've got Lindsay, Just Lindsay, Savannah Porter, Joshua Smith, Lindsay Moore, Travis Gilmore, Giavab, Natalie C., Santiago Castillo, Yoda Noodle, Edward Horace, and Luna Madai Lupin.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
Thank you guys all so much.
Yeah, we really actually do. Super appreciate it. If you guys would like to support us over on Patreon, you can do so by going to patreon.com/popcornculture. Otherwise, until next week,
pop, pop!